Hey, this is Idle Inspiration, the podcast about finding our next favorite role-playing game or building it. My name is Caleb, and with me, I have Seth once more. David wasn't free tonight, and I was like, you know what?
And I'm second rate, so that's why I'm here.
Well, no, David is my like actual permanent co-host, but I was like, I still want to do an episode, so I'll see if Seth's free.
I just wanted to give you grief.
Of course, as you do.
I have to, given how much grief you've given me.
And we'll definitely get into that. Yeah. So we've been doing a little bit of a mini series here. It's been a very informal mini series.
Very informal. I'm in pajamas.
We've done this with David and with Josh Lang now, talking about like the kind of psychology of characters. And you know, part of it, I've talked at length now about my characters in both of those episodes, both in as a player and as a GM, right? Like NPCs I've made. But mainly this is going to be me like kind of interviewing / grilling Seth about his characters.
And on that note, actually, Caleb, yeah. I'm sending you my list of characters. Perfect. So you can ask me about specific ones.
That's great.
Because I think that'll make it more interesting, because I could just go through all of them, but I think even you know, some of these aren't very interesting.
Yeah. I'll try to as well. I'll try to bring up my YouTube here and all the non-D&D things too. I'll see if I can snag a few of those that I were interested in.
I didn't even think about those characters.
Yeah, no, and that's totally fine. I'll see if I can find one.
There's some on here that I definitely want to bring up, but I want you to pick the ones you feel like are more interesting.
For sure. Yeah, so we're going to talk about just kind of like the psychology of characters, talking about like why Seth made the characters the way he did, what that might say, and this could be, maybe I'll do some analysis on my end, right, of like why I think Seth might make these characters the way he does, and we can talk about that.
I just realized I need to update this list with Vren. Vren is not on this list yet.
True. Once more, I've made you make a new character.
I have not edited this list in a long time.
We're just going to see like what these characters might say about Seth as a player and or as a person. Just kind of dig into that psychology a little bit. It'll be fun because so when I told Carly what episode we were going to do tonight, I was like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about like this different character Seth has made. And Carly said, you know, as if she was Seth, and I made this character because my other character died. And I was like, that's about the entire episode there.
Really,
right there.
Honestly, it was more so I playing this character. Okay, let's have to kind of get into it in that point. Vren was supposed to be my character for the next campaign.
Oh, was he?
Well, not exactly. I had a different character plan, but this is like a character I had as a kind of like a backup. And Deli kind of going away forced me to pull him out. Or more so it was finally an excuse to play him. Because I was like, if we ever played Pathfinder, he would not work in Pathfinder, to put it simply. Changelings just don't exist in Pathfinder.
Right.
The way they do here. So.
Yeah, but I really like Vren so far. So
he's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. And you know, hey, let's just talk about Vren. This is kind of a weird place to start, but this is the character you're currently playing. Specifically, you made this character, as we just said, because your other character, this is a backup character.
I made him because of a backup character, but I had this concept a while ago. Honestly, he was originally supposed to be a rogue, and he was a changeling rogue whose whole shtick was he was a shapeshifter, and that's why he was such a good rogue.
Yeah.
But I honestly kind of like him as a chaotic, not a chaos sorcerer, but a chaotic sorcerer as well, because he's just kind of does what he was. Like I think I mentioned on Thursday, he's kind of like a magical Robin Hood. But he's not necessarily doing it. He's not necessarily doing it, being mean to the rich to give to the poor. He's being mean to the rich because he feels like they deserve it. People like Avner are his bread and butter.
It's kind of like a vindictive thing.
Yeah. It's like, well, because not to get too much into spoiler, because we haven't gotten into his backstory. Actually, I haven't determined why he actually does this to people. That'll be something interesting to figure out. It's just fun. That's honestly the reason I'm doing it currently, because it's fun. But why he does it as a character, I don't know yet, actually.
One of the things that I wonder about Vren and about like your characters in general, I'm curious where Vren sits in your repertoire, specifically because he's kind of antagonistic to the party, right? Uh-huh. Like he is specifically, you know, under a magical curse that makes him unable to disobey orders when he probably would disobey orders if he could, mm-hmm. right? So where does that, like, if I'm remembering right, most of your characters don't fall under that category.
Yes.
Like even Toity, who was like, you know, very as sarcastic, if not more than Vren, mm-hmm. Not antagonistic of a character. Right.
And to be clear, part of the reason we gave him this magical contract, because it's the only reason a character like Vren would be there. That mm-hmm. is the main reason we did that, is because there's no way a character who's all about chaos, pulling pranks and doing all these things wouldn't see these guys and say, nah, bye.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Or like, you're just another target. I'll make fun of you and then leave. Yeah.
We don't want the stereotypical party member stealing from another party member because little Vren. Because like, honestly, if Vren was actually, I don't know, he would not do that to any of the characters in the party. Honestly, the only person in the whole encampment I think he would do that to is Avner, because he's the one that fits his typical mark. So I don't think he would necessarily do it to them, but without their guidance, he would definitely be having a little more fun. Like the scene where it was revealed that he accidentally revealed that she was part of the Blood Sisters, and there was like mm-hmm. that the butting of heads going on. He was just kind of sitting there going, well, this is fun.
Yeah, for sure.
he enjoys sowing discord.
I gotta be honest, I think if we were gonna encapsulate Seth in one word, it would just be fun, right? Like he wants to have fun with his characters.
Yes, I do.
You know, Seth has had plenty of like deep backstory characters, but the most important thing for Seth, I think from my perspective, it seems like it's, you just want to have fun with it.
I do, honestly. Right? And that's, I feel like that on that note, I feel like that's the problem we had with Teppan. Mm. is he just wasn't a fun character.
He wasn't. I don't think he was ever really a fun character. Mechanically, he was kind of fun.
Mechanically, he was fun, but he was a stick in the mud. He was the most boring charismatic character I've played, I think is a good way to put it.
Very
true. He was a charismatic character with no charisma.
Yeah, with no like uniqueness about his charisma, right?
It didn't help that I kind of made his story and I invalidated his story like at the get-go on accident. Like the whole mm-hmm, person mm-hmm. he wanted to get revenge on was the people the party just killed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Vren is doing what, because I'm always the person who has a character die and have to come in with a secondary. Mm-hmm. Vren is what Teppan should have been more like, but I didn't know it at the time. He was only the second character I'd really long-term played.
Yeah.
And fun characters are fun. Like, honestly, for the next campaign, the character I'm playing is fun.
Yeah, from what I remember you saying about
it. Yes, we won't get into him for spoilery reasons.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't
exist
yet.
And who knows what it'll be and when it'll happen. I might have a different idea about then.
Very true. Well, let's back up then. So we started playing together in 2018, and you made Toidrus Logblossom. Can you walk me through, like, when we were first starting that game, walk me through, like why you made that character, what your kind of first impressions of the campaign were, and, like, what your thoughts were when you were like, I gotta sit down and make a character for this game. Walk me through that. What
the only part I remember, honestly, because the thing, that was 6 years ago.
So long
I really
ago.
Don't remember. And it was also the kind of thing where I wasn't thinking of making a character. I was just thinking of making something to play. Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember about Toity was a joke that I started off with and why I named him Toity. I don't know if you remember this, Caleb, but I said, oh, my name is Toity because my mother had me when I was when she was Toity. I have a brother named 45 and a sister named 7.
that's a pretty good line.
People off.
Yeah.
Like, he became a bigger character. He became more of a backstory, but I didn't really have any plans other than I want to play a fun bard who has a bagpipes that people keep getting rid of because they hate his bagpipes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wish I remembered more about how I made Toity, but I don't see, and it may be just the fact that there wasn't a lot of thought process behind Toity.
Yeah.
I had no real backstory other than he betrayed a noble. I didn't think at that point I knew who the noble was or what he did. And obviously, we came up with stuff, but
yeah. I was honestly very happy, just thinking about the game now, mm-hmm. very happy with the amount of backstory everyone had come up with. Like, mm-hmm. it was very minimal. It was very vague, lots of broad strokes and nothing mm-hmm. specific. And we were able to mold it to what we wanted the game to look like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty loose starting off, because we weren't even sure how long the game was going to last, right?
And that's kind of what I've done with Vryn now. Because I kind of went the opposite direction with Deli, wanted to make videos about the campaign. Mm. I just did not end up having the time I thought I would to do something mm-hmm. like that. So I came up with too much backstory for Deli, but it was also fun to make. I had fun with it, and it's become somewhat relevant at times.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed being able to tie it into things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Allison, what's his name? The guy that taught her magic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I still don't know what happened to her friend that helped her escape.
Yep. It doesn't matter. I was going to, I forget those characters too. I'm sure I had a note about them somewhere, but
I know what the one guy's got captured by Allison mm-hmm. and the girl. I don't know. I think she died when I wild shaped the first time. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's besides the point. That's a detour. Yep.
I'm trying to think of more broad stroke things. If we're talking about Toity, thinking about Toity, he is definitely fun, right? But he's also on the charismatic side of the scale here. You do play characters every once in a while that aren't charismatic, right? They're like dumb brutes or something like
Actually,
that.
Actually, on that note, that's the reason I made Uh-Uh. Mm-hmm. I specifically made Uh-Uh because at that point I was feeling a little worn out of always being a character who was the mouthpiece. I was getting tired of it, which feels weird now because I like doing that.
Yeah. But I mean, I remember with like throughout the campaign with Deli, you've kept complaining that you can't actually convince anyone of anything or your character doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, the problem I'm having with Deli is just the fact that like the one NPC she really connected with, left.
Sorry.
it happens. Yeah. And I still, but the thing is, I've still enjoyed Deli. I've still enjoyed playing her.
She has plenty of connections to the player characters, you know.
And she had, you know, Allison on her back. But no, I remember creating because I just wanted a character that literally could not speak. Mm-hmm. And so I made a barbarian. He was fun from what I remember. Honestly, I wish he could have, that would have been a fun character to do an entire campaign with, because his whole goal was he had been attacked by some monster, I don't remember who, and had his lips and tongue cut off. So he literally could not make any sound other than ah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's how I made that character. Literally the idea of what is the least charismatic person I can make.
And it is honestly interesting, just kind of backing up, talking about theory for a second. Mm-hmm. The way we make characters sometimes reacts against the way we've made characters in the past, right? We do mm-hmm. it intentionally different because we want to try something. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other examples of that where you've like reacted against something you usually do?
Well, I think just in general, just trying to create a character that has starting a character with a flaw is something I've found interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember who else did that. I say that look at my list and instantly see Gefeldlar. His flaw was he didn't like vowels.
Well, his mother didn't like vowels.
His mother didn't like vowels.
I actually have I want to talk about Gefeldlar for a second. Yes. We're kind of jumping around, but this is mainly an excuse for me to set the reminisce about random characters. I love Gefeldlar because you were sick the night we played that character. And so your character the whole night was just a grumpy old man because you were a grumpy old man.
Is that why that started?
I don't know if he was ever meant to be as grumpy as he was, but it was so fun because you just played into it. Like it didn't feel like you were mad as a player, but you were like, I don't feel well. I'm just going to channel that into this character and make him
angry
at everyone.
That sounds like something I would do.
And it was really fun. So.
But I remember nothing about the character other than his name.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I've done this with another character, but I can't remember who, but like the idea of just building a character with a flaw. I guess I kind of did that with Deli and with the wild magic, but I thought I did this more often, but now I can't remember. But I do like the idea of like you start with the flaw and then build it from there.
or like
I kind of have that, like my next character kind of has that a little bit too. Mm-hmm. But I guess I haven't done that nearly as much. Oh, I guess can't speak, of course.
Right.
But that was what I was talking about.
Some of it does depend too on like how you usually start with characters, especially with Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like there is a particular order to like actually choosing mechanics for the character. And so a lot of times just that order with Dungeons and Dragons will kind of influence. So like, for example, if you have to roll your stats, right? Mm-hmm. That will, and you do it early, that will very much flavor the rest of your character creation process, because you're like, okay, suddenly I have a 5 dexterity. Okay, let's make that part of the thing. It is fun to see how different games can interact with that. Like, for example, something like Fate, which is very much more like broad strokes, make up narrative things about your character and then fill in the like statistics. It's just like, yeah, you're going to make up some random thing about your story and then make that fit, as opposed to Dungeons and Dragons. Usually it's the other way around. You make random mechanics choices, and then you're like, why does he have this random feat? Let's see here. I'm curious about continuing to nail down patterns here. So I'm thinking, right, we have fun, charismatic usually. Can we talk about those a little bit more? Like what about those, like, can you give me some facets here? Like what about those particular things are interesting to you?
I like role playing. It's right. fun. Yeah. I like the improv element of it. This is the main place I've been able to get improv in out of my system in that sense. So playing a character that's kind of a stick in the mud and is boring to be, like, if I'm playing a character that's fun, I'm having fun. If I'm playing a character that is boring, that's pretty simple. It's boring. I think the perfect example of someone. I don't know if that really fits. Fun can mean different things in different times.
Right. Exactly.
And I think the perfect example of that is Twig Snap, because Twig Snap was so fun to play because I had to role play only with lines I was given.
Yeah.
And that was, it could only work in a one shot. I don't think I was going to play a character like that fully, but
I think it really worked because it was so isolated in that one session. Yeah.
But having that character and like writing down every line people, like characters said, and like finding like the perfect moments to repeat those. Like I remember something like, I think it was like Emily's character said, let's not go there. And then we ran into a mimic and I said, let's not go there.
Yeah.
It was just perfect. And so
I'm thinking fun
means different
because
things, I guess.
Right, exactly. For me, fun can mean so many different things, because like I when I think about fun for you, it is a very different thing than what I know fun for me necessarily is. Like I am not necessarily going to immediately gravitate towards kind of fun, goofy, lighthearted, but that's usually where you go. Not that any other characters can't have deep, dark, deep things about them, but like there's something about them that's just like fun in a like a non-heavy sense. For me, like I really like dramatic, dark, you know, kind of like deep stuff. And, you know, I of course will drag your character into those things. It is interesting to think about like what that means for you, like what the impetus is for making those sorts of characters. So, and here, go ahead.
Deli has kind of been that way. Deli has been the more darker side. I mean, she literally like tortured someone at some point. She has been that, and it's been fun to play.
Yeah.
So I can't have Deli.
I mean, Deli has like, she has a love for animals. She's like a 5-year-old dragonborn child. Like there's things about her that are just lighthearted by nature, right?
That's true. That's true.
And that's one of the reasons why she's such an interesting character, is because those two things are actually in juxtaposition with each other. That's one of the reasons I really like Toity too, is because he was a fun, lighthearted character who then was constantly placed in situations where his heart for other people that he met was like broken, right? People kept dying that he loved, and like bad things kept happening to people that he cared about, and his morals kept being challenged, and he wanted to be lighthearted, but was in a situation where that was not really an option. Though there were plenty of points where that like was the option, and to do so was to make everything better. Like he mm-hmm. explicitly chose to keep things lighthearted because otherwise it would not be good.
Can you imagine what would happen if Toity had gotten the orb?
I think about that all the time, my dude. I think about that all the time. It was between you and Emily.
It would have been such a different, mm-hmm. entirely different campaign.
Entirely different campaign. I've been having, this is completely random, but I've been thinking for a while now as to if I was going to adapt the story of Terranullius into a novel series or whatever, mm-hmm. what I would change about it, because, you know, it's a D&D campaign. You can't just like wholesale rip it mm-hmm. into a novel. But I think, honestly, one of the things I might do is give the toy, like kind of mix two characters. I think what I might do is mix Miggy and Toity together into one character and have him take the orb, because for me, one of the most important moments in that whole game, and maybe just because I played this character, but it's Miggy's ascension, right? And so I like having, and Toity was such a, had such main character energy to me. I'd have to figure out what to do with the Raya stand-in too. Mm-hmm. I think there would be something I could do, but like, I think about that all the time, about what if Toity had gotten the orb, and I'm curious about that possibility too.
I think it would change too much if you did that though, because yeah. Toity still was integral to the plot. He was essential in the ascension of Miggy. He's the only reason true. Miggy ascended. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times in a role playing game, there's just too many characters.
Yeah,
and so I was thinking of like how I could like combine roles and stuff. But anyway,
if you mixed it so like. Toity, like the mix of Toity Miggy was the one that did ascend, maybe, but I don't know.
Right. Mainly because, anyway, this is a completely different podcast.
That's a different conversation.
I just immediately thought of it, and I was like, this is something I haven't actually talked to you about. And this is, you're currently writing a novel. So,
yes.
Anyway,
that's a different story to go also though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fun, charismatic. You said you really like just like improv, you really like role playing.
I think it's just because that kind of stuff just fits so naturally with me. Cause when I think about it,
yeah,
a lot of the characters who are like my favorite characters act a lot like me when I'm feeling snarky. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Deli when she's snarky, very much like me. Toity when she's snarky, very much like me. Yep. Adeline when I'm feeling is when me on snark to the T.
Yeah, is there another facet that we can think of here? Fun, charismatic. Because, okay, so we got, right, like, well, I guess the other facet is constantly have to make new ideas up because Caleb keeps killing my characters.
Finding new ways to play the
pure pressure of the Crucible. yeah.
Fun, charismatic. I'm looking at my characters.
Yeah.
Snarky. I think is a very
humor. Yeah, even beyond fun, because like fun can a lot of times is like lighthearted, something quirky, like a unique mm-hmm. quirk about a character. But like, yeah, there's also just the straight up humor aspect of it.
Like, Adeline was mm-hmm. she was awesome, but she was also like who was the I forget the person that she was like the hireling of. I forget his name.
Oh, Lord Navarro.
Yeah, Navarro. And she was like, oh, you're just so much. She just would constantly just give him grief and look down on him and just make fun of him because she thought he was hilarious. He thought he was like, oh, he's so cute, thinking he is a big man.
That was actually a pretty fun dynamic, because beforehand in the campaign, right, Navarro was this kind of untouchable, mm-hmm. intimidating figure that everyone feared. And then we kind of zoomed out and we're like, oh yeah, he's actually part of this bigger thing. And he's not actually that high up in this bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of humor. I don't know. I like things that are funny. Like I'm looking through the list, trying to think of examples, and Bootsy. He mm-hmm. came from a meme I saw online of a swarm druid being a chicken farmer. I'm like, that sounds hilarious. I want to do that. And I came up with a list of chicken names.
Is that the only character you've made up because of a meme? I feel like that's not. You have made up at least one other character off of a meme before. It might be like a one-shot character, but.
Maybe. Well, this list is on my D&D one-shot characters. maybe in like a non-D&D campaign, but like this is the one where literally was like, I saw a meme. I was like, this is hilarious. I want to play this. It was also partially me testing out Druid to see if I'd like to play it in the next campaign, which ended up being Delhi. I can't think of anything based purely on a meme. I mean, Gefeldar of the meme of not having vowels, but that's a little different.
That's all good. So I'm curious, we should talk a little bit about the Crucible now that we've mentioned it. So I have killed so many of your characters.
So many characters.
You are the Sean Bean of our group.
Yes, I am.
More characters of yours have died than any other player. What is that like? Right? Like,
it's
what's the...
dumb. I don't like it. The one here that I am still salty about is Waldrick. To the point where the next character I play is going to be... Not like Waldrick, but he's going to be close enough. He's going to be the same kind of character I wanted to play.
You can finally redeem that.
I don't know. Some of them needed to die. Like, Gret needed to die. His accent was getting really bad. But, I just saw Grinnell was in the...
Yeah, do you remember the fiasco game we did with Grinnell?
Yes.
It was the turtles one.
Yes, that is where I had my rant, and it ended with working at, like, what was it?
Wendy's, I think. Yeah.
That was my favorite moment.
That was very good. That was very fun.
Fiascos
are definitely a moment where your, like, improvisational emphasis shines, right? Like, you're always ready to go with any of those things that happen. It's very, very fun.
Oh, what were we just talking about? Sorry, I just looked at the chat and I forgot what we were talking about.
The Crucible. What is it like to have all your characters die?
I'm looking through this list. Well, it makes me make characters like Adeline.
Yeah, honestly, that might be one of the things that is important about it, is I think you may be the person who's made the most characters that react against characters you've made in the past.
Yep.
Because the other players, at least in our Thursday group, have not made enough characters to right, to really have that instinct honed into them.
Both Vryn, Adeline, and Teppan were characters I created because I'm like, my character is dying. I need to make a character that is stronger. These are the times where I'm like, I need to go power gamer.
Not so
much with Vryn. Vryn was just like I looked up what is the most optimal like magic items I can get. And it's why his spell save DC is a 20. Wonderful. But Adeline was a character I created very specifically because trying to remember specific magic items. Because the problem I was having is you kept like having like miniature like one shots where I'd make the character, you'd take away all their items. I'm like, well, I can't do anything now. So I specifically made Adeline and gave her a weapon she could summon herself, so you couldn't take away her weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I made her a warlock so she could still cast magic missile.
I probably permanently scarred you because the Muldrak, the first character of yours I ever killed, that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
I stole all your stuff and you got bitten in half by a dog.
And he literally could do nothing.
Yeah.
And he just died. Then I created Gret and then he died. And I think the next one was Adeline.
And yeah, like, and Gret too. He had like gauntlets of ogre power, and I took them because I imprisoned you guys.
And so I just made someone like, I need to make someone who Caelum can't kill. And Adeline was awesome. I was like going online and I found a build on Reddit of a tanky wizard, and I'm like, that's it. I'm doing that. It was so much fun.
That was one of the reasons that
probably broke rules a little bit with like being able to like actually cast spells with your hands and stuff like that, I sometimes forget about those things. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
That was one of the reasons that you were so excited that when we played Tales from the Loop, because the game explicitly says the characters cannot die. and so you're like, look at me now, Caelum. You can never kill me.
I remember that. But yeah, similar like with Teppan, I needed a character that wasn't going to die. So I built like I found a fun build. That sounded fun to like do in combat, and it was fun to play. But the problem with D&D combat sometimes, especially when you get to higher level, is you just end up doing the same thing over and over again. It's like, I'm just gonna do the thing. That happened a little bit with Delhi too, which is why Vryn has been fun. But it's like after a while, Teppan got boring both in combat and out of combat.
I mean, Teppan became even more boring when it was off to buy, and his entire purpose was to
solve as soon as he came in.
Well, even beyond that, his entire purpose after at that point was to live, right? Mm-hmm. It was just to be like not die, not just exist because he wanted to relish everything that was happening.
That's not a motivation. And that is one thing I've learned from that is characters need motivation, which is why giving them a flaw is helpful. Mm-hmm.
And part of that's probably on me too. I probably could have pushed Ottabai. And I think by the end, we did try to push Ottabai. And I think, remember, because we gave Ottabai like a little bit more motivation to like make sure that Navarro and the humans didn't get control of the Yolotli Basin by the end. And he was kind of like, Ottabai ended up being kind of like the champion for all the, like the Genasi and the Tabaxi and whoever else were still there. Mm-hmm. So by the end, I think we did find something for Ottabai to do, but it's definitely important.
That's the one thing that's come from my characters dying is going power gamer a little bit. It's also, I'm just to be completely honest, it's come to the point where like, honestly, I'm running a character idea.
Yep.
We're literally like, I found a way for the next character to kind of make it work in D&D. Mm-hmm. It works better in Pathfinder, but it's getting to the point where I'm like, if my characters die much more, I'm going to run out of ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's definitely an issue from playing the same game for 6 years to this point.
For playing the same game for 6 years and having a list of characters that all die.
Yep, yep, yep. Because, like, Alyssa and Emily,
they've always
their characters the never died.
They never died, so they don't have to worry about that.
Yep.
I've had so many ideas. I don't know. I'm also kind of just used to it now, though. That's another outcome. My character, I kind of just expect it now. I'm like, what the funny thing is actually, Deli's the only character in this campaign that hasn't died now. She's been captured. Mm. She's not dead, but she hasn't died. Like, she's the only one without a mark.
The entire purpose of this game is like everyone keeps dying and being resurrected. Right. Yeah.
She's the only one that hasn't died so far. That is interesting. But no, like, it's if character death is just kind of a thing that happens to me now, it's like, oh, my character's dead. Okay, I'll come up with a new character. Like, honestly, the other week when we were thinking we're having a TPK, I was not joking when I said I was looking through the races. I'm like, okay, what could I play? And I did find something. I had to go to a very esoteric race to think of it, but I found something.
So here's a question. If we're talking about kind of going outside of D&D for a moment, one of the most long-running games that we played outside of D&D is Monster Hearts. We did that, like, we did a whole arc of Monster Hearts.
Okay, that's a character I made.
Yeah, can you tell me about Gree?
Gree was so stupid.
Yeah, I know.
The little name was Gray. It was Gree, which means gray, and Jeed, which was gray in a different language. I don't remember. He just was.
The funny thing about Gree was like he was so edgy.
He was just supposed to. Oh, right. That Gree. Jeed was edge.
Oh, it was an anagram for edge.
It was an anagram for edge. That was it. He was just supposed to be stereotypical, edgy emo dude. And then he ended up accidentally becoming the main character.
Yeah.
I wasn't even planning on that.
The fun thing that I liked about Gree is that in a weird way, like he perfectly fit the setting that we were and the tone that we were going for, but still somehow also hit the things that Seth usually makes in a character in a weird nega version that like still it was still fun because even though it was like a depressed emo kid, you thought it was hilarious, right? Like you're like,
it was
I'm doing this on purpose, and it's
it was more hilarious when we started. It got a little less hilarious as we went on, but then there was the one NPC I kept interacting with that kept trying to get superpowers from me, and I just kept sending him down weird paths.
You still got to have that like snark, and it was just a little darker of an edge, right? And the other two characters ended up being having much darker backstories, right? And darker, like, drama going on with their characters. Like, I mean, Emily's character, like, got someone to murder someone for them and then murdered them. And, right, like, it was, like, very dramatic. Gree, all the way through, was probably the most lighthearted of the three characters.
That is
somehow
true. Alyssa's character was dead, was a ghost, and Emily... Even though everything was coming up Zaf, you know, just a bunch of people kept dying in her wake.
Yep.
Weird things with stoop teachers and climbing out of group, climbing out of basements only in your underwear. Wait, no, that was me.
Yeah, no, that was you. That was you. I think Emily's character did something similar to that as well. But yeah.
Wait, that was me. Did I have to kill someone to escape? I don't remember.
Yeah, you killed the janitor who had turned into a vampire.
Right. I forgot about that.
See, Gernot says in chat, he feels it in his eyes is still one of my favorite lines. I don't remember what that's from. Do you remember, Gernot? Please tell us. I don't remember what that's from.
I don't remember. That sounds like something from Gree. Yeah, Marco, I forgot. Let's forget about Marco Tisby.
I don't want to talk about
Marco Tisby.
No, I loved Marco. You did such a good job with Marco. And then you just got sad.
It was just
because Marco got punched.
The mechanics just kept kicking me and kicking me. I'm like, I'm just... it was very depressing after a while. Yeah. No, I don't remember he feels it in his eyes at all. Sounds like something Gree would have said.
That's what I think too, but we'll see. We'll see what Josh
I don't
says.
Remember though. I just kind of want to go back and just watch the first episode just because that's when it was the most silly.
Mm. Yeah, it was a really fun. I mean, the fun thing about that game is that we did like 8 episodes, but it was over like a long period of time. So I thought it worked really well. I kept rewatching the entire thing every time we did a new episode. So I was able to keep everybody up on what had happened last. I'm trying to think of, like, your Blades in the Dark character, too, fits this mold pretty well. The problem with the Blades in the Dark game that we did is that, like Lavender Shadows, right, the dice kept kicking you in the pants constantly until you were, like, down and out, right?
I think that happened for all of us, though.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think at the end of it, we were all like, this game is depressing. I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and to be fair, you all started as terrible criminals, so.
Yeah, I know, but we had the whole thing with, like, he was, like, just covered in newspaper, and, like, it was so weird. But no, that game just got depressing.
It did.
We weren't expecting such darkness from that game, and then just went there, I'm like, oh, this is making me sad.
Yep. Yeah, I would still like to do another game of Blades in the Dark. I think it would be fun to have all four of you do that. Mm-hmm. But we would just have to make sure that we tailor the tone a little bit better
What characters have we not talked about?
There's not a whole lot of other, like, long arcs. He feels it in his eyes was from the fiasco. Okay, that's what he says.
Oh, that must have been from that fiasco. I don't remember that line.
I don't either. If you remember context, let us know, Josh.
I kind of want to go back to that one again. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whenever I want to just, like, have a blast, I just listen back to any of those fiascos that we've done, and they're always so fun. So random and so fun. I'm trying to see what... Because we haven't done a whole lot of other, like, full... Even short arcs of games.
Oh, another example of a character that was just fun and just funny. The one in the fiasco where, like, there was the dad character who kind of abandoned their kids. Oh, and I was playing the guy who was, like, doing the fire watches because of all the arson. And he would just hear things like, good story.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep. That was a fun character. Yeah, all of your your fiasco characters have fit these molds pretty well. One of my favorite of your fiasco characters was, do you remember the one we did that was kind of like Spaceballs-esque, right?
Is that the one where I died?
Laser Moon sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think you did die by the end of that. But you were playing basically the guy from the IT crowd. I can't remember which character, but it felt like such a you character. It was very, very fun, very awkward, like socially awkward. Every time you're constantly being set up on dates with your parents, me and Alyssa's characters. And they kept not liking you and wanted Emily's character, the Chad guy.
That sounds like Emily's character.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a fun one. You do also do a good job of like playing into like the awkward social romantic stuff too.
Like I have experience with that.
I wasn't gonna say it.
it's like that's all I've ever known.
But you have fun with it, right? Like it's not like you're doing it to be depressed. It's like
I don't know. This last Thursday, I was not enjoying it. So much. I was like, no, I really just want this to end.
Yeah.
I have my reasonings for why he was like that, but
no, and that's totally fine.
I just realized that is the first main campaign ever time a character of mine has been in a romantic situation.
I know.
Never was in one. Heppen was never in one. Atabai was never in one. Deli was never in one.
This is one of the reasons I'm very excited that Vren exists, because he's like a normal person. He can shapeshift, obviously, but he's still like a charismatic, normal, like he looks normal. So like people could be attracted to him and initiate things. So you did this to yourself, Seth.
Yeah, I did not think this through clearly, apparently.
You also set up your entire backstory being like, I scammed like a seductress out of like a contract she made with me. So like it already sets up your character in a certain way.
Yeah. It's probably not the first. Probably when I think about it, Vren's probably scammed a lot of people, both male and female. Maybe possibly using that method as well. It's just this is the first time he's like, I'm not allowed to just leave or kill them. Because when you think about it, he's probably been like he's level 11 currently, but he's probably been like he's probably plateaued a while ago.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of been at this level for a while because he's not interested in actually getting better. Why would he get better? He doesn't need to. He's fine where he's at. And so now he's actually being forced to work.
Yeah. Scanning through the rest of these, I don't see a whole lot of others that like really jump out to me. Maybe the Tales from the Loop character would be the only other one. It seems pretty standard. You played you played kid characters before, and they've been similar to each other, like the kind of
was Tales from the Loop the game where we were like in the 180s campaign sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, that character was fun.
Yeah,
he was just a dorky little kid that wanted to make sure Santa got his list.
Mm-hmm. Super smart, but like also super scared. I actually really enjoyed that character because it felt
fun.
You did a really good job playing up like his flaws and then coming up with good reasons why he could overcome those flaws. There's some good moments with that character.
That was a fun character. Actually, that's one thing we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
Deli wasn't originally supposed to be Deli. Deli was originally supposed to be a little boy who liked to eat because he had this similar thing. And him eating would cause the wild magic. But the thing was, I didn't want to play. I don't remember exactly, but I remember like not wanting to play another sorcerer. Which is funny because now I'm playing another sorcerer.
Well, I mean, hey, you got five and a half seasons of playing a druid in, like, yeah.
But the whole idea was like, I wanted to play, I think I don't remember exactly, this was a couple years ago now, but I think I like wanted to play a druid, but I also like the idea of like the little boy thing, like who literally just couldn't control his magic. So we mixed the two with the homebrew we found and we made Deli.
Mm-hmm.
I miss Deli.
I do too. I'm very excited. This arc will be a lot of fun. This current season we're doing in Terra Invicta. It'll give Vren a chance to be a part of something that he didn't just pop in on, right? Mm-hmm. Like he'll be able to be part of the entire thing. And then from there we can go to the whole, you know, save Deli plan. And I think it will give Vren a good amount of time to like be felt out as a character. And then we'll be able to give him a good send off, hopefully, if we can get Deli back.
I mean, and we'll also see, because the thing is, too, given what happens, Vren might stick around or come back at some point. But also, yeah, like, I have no disillusion of the fact that I don't know what state Deli's going to be in when we find her.
Yes.
Yeah. And the last word she said were "kill me." She does not want to be around anymore. So who knows how much she'll.
You'll probably have to have a heart to heart moment with Takeaway or something.
Oh yeah. It's honestly, that's what I'm looking forward to most, is just because Vren's around to do a job.
Yeah.
He was told bring her back or kill her. And right. He was told, like, those are the two options. Yeah. And this is probably something that's not in the contract, but assume no, this isn't the contract. If he can disobey the party if it's killing Deli, because that's in the contract, is something he has been told to do, because MADOK knows
how would you like that, Seth, if I made you kill your own character? Has that happened before? Is this new?
With the whole magic missile thing that happened a couple weeks ago.
Well, yes. Kill yourself is another thing. Have one of your characters kill another one of your characters. I don't think we've done that yet.
No, honestly, it would just... Here's the thing. Do I want that to happen necessarily? No. I would like to have Deli back. But at the same point, that would make for such an interesting story. Because they're the other characters, they want to rescue Deli. And I don't blame them. But Vren knows the fact that she might not be rescuable.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun play out.
Here's another random question. How did you like playing yourself in our Christmas one shot?
I mean, it's funny talking about how snarky my characters have been, and playing myself was just insane.
It felt like pretty much all the other characters you play.
That was a fun one shot.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fun. Maybe that's why I like playing snarky characters, because I'm just playing myself. It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
I get to be myself. I don't have to. Well, I mean, I can be snarky at work and stuff like that. But like when it gets down to it, I can just be goofy, not have to worry about things necessarily, and can just go bleh.
Okay. So I think the last thing I'm curious about is from a GM perspective, because you GM'd in the past. When you think about NPCs, like, you know, coming up with NPCs either on the fly or prepping them in advance, what things do you maybe do differently than just making a character or slash playing a character?
I don't play them like me necessarily.
Right.
In the recent campaign, I take the same approach with NPCs like I do with like writing or just improv. It's just like I put myself in their position, thinking, what would they do right now? For example, right now I'm playing through a Pathfinder adventure path with my nephews called Abomination Vaults. And let's put it simply, one of them attacked the mayor because he didn't get his way. And I'm like, I think that character's going to get arrested when they go back because they attacked the mayor. So yeah. I don't know. I just try to kind of put myself in their shoes, think, how would they react right now? And I feel like I can get away with that more. I feel like I'm more comfortable doing that with NPCs rather than my own characters, just because it's not something I'm not to say I'm not invested in, but I'm doing it for different reasons. I'm not doing it just because this is a character I've put my time and effort into, and this is how I want to play them. No, this is a NPC who's interacting with someone that they've invested into.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel a little, I feel a little bit more comfortable because when I'm a DM, the world is my character. An NPC is not necessarily my character. So I'm more into making the world interact with the players as opposed to individual characters, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know. The DM sessions I've been in have been, you sometimes get cut off short. I'm still not sure if that game with my nephews is going to keep going.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I hope it does.
Yeah. I'm curious how much you let bleed over though. I've always found that, obviously, yeah, you attempt to like play a different person. Mm-hmm. But how do you go about that when you are not that person? Right? Like what are some actual thing? Do you keep anything in particular in mind? Do you start with yourself and go somewhere else from there?
I think I just start with who is this character and then go with it. Like, for example, when my nephews were attacking the mayor, mm-hmm. I needed to BS my way out of getting the mayor killed. Let's be honest. And so one of the NPCs in the world is a former gladiator. And I decided, I had described the mayor as being talking to like a mother and her child about the manor, which is partially a museum. Those are the guy's family. And so he was in the manor too. And he sees his employee, because it's an employer for one of the NPC, mm-hmm. one of the player characters. He sees one of his employees running in, being violent around his family and the mayor. Like, he's not going to take this lightly. So he went up to him. And he's like, I forget the player character's name. He's like, he just tells him, like, yells at him, stand down. And he finally gives him a stand down. He goes, I'm like, what the frick do you think you're doing? He's like, well, I'm trying to make the kobolds, you know, be part of this town. He's like, do you have any idea what the kobolds mean to this, what the kobolds have done to this town? And he's trying to fight against it. He's like, you don't know anything. You don't know what you're talking about. And he just kind of leaves off. He's just pissed at him. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't feel me bleeding into that personally because it's not me.
Right.
And I guess that's the difference. I have a very different way I go about NPCs versus my own characters. Not all the time. Like, there's another character in that world named Ren Savinsky, who's a kind of a very not charismatic, but very just kind of, she's a magic user and she's very much a eclectic person. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of let myself seep in a little bit of that one, because like, ooh, like I see you're doing things, and would you maybe mm-hmm. want to go over here? And so I do that a little bit. But I don't feel as problem. I don't care as much about being me when I'm playing an NPC in a game I'm running.
Here's something that I do. Let's see if you relate to this. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll think about another person I know and my observations of them, or a character that I know from like media. Mm-hmm. Right. I'll be like, okay, I'm channeling,
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, there you go. Let's say like Tobey Maguire strutting that, like, I want that, like a Spider-Man mm-hmm. 3. I want that strut right now with this character. He's going to be kind of obnoxious and whatever. I'll just like try to like, and he usually is like very on the spot characterizations. But most of the time I'll try to just like, what will end up happening is I'm drawing from something I have in my brain, either from media or like a real person in my actual life. And then doing that. A lot of times will be like the first thing they say will a lot of times immediately characterize them for me. And it's very improvised. You're just saying the first thing that comes to your mind. But then I'll be like, ooh, that person said it like my friend AJ. Okay, sounds good. That's who they are now, right?
I can't say I've done that, but you've GM'd a lot more than I have in that case. The main campaign I was running a while ago lasted for like 10 sessions, and the current one I'm in with my nephews were on like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. So I haven't got too many opportunities to do as much as you have since I've gotten more into improv stuff. So
part of it might be too, just like you probably do some of this. It's just you maybe don't realize that you're like, it's more subconscious. Yeah. Then.
Yeah. I haven't been doing it enough to see patterns, I guess, is mm-hmm. the way I put it.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. For sure. Makes sense. Cool. Any other thoughts you have as we close up here?
I look through. There's 30 characters on here I don't even remember.
So many characters.
I do not remember who Nabdul is. Artificer?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the character that you played when Jordan ran that one shot that we did. I'm pretty sure who that's.
That's
the only other gnome character you played. So I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
I remember Gethryst slightly. I remember playing Kawasaki. Don't remember who they were.
Right. Yeah.
Waldrick never got to rip Waldrick. Never got to really do anything with him. Wish we'd gotten to finish off the side story with Drath. That's something I still wish we could have done. We never got to, and it's far too late to do it now.
Oh, yeah. It's very irrelevant now.
Very irrelevant now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Characters I guess that's are fun.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. I guess that's what happens, though, when you start a gigantic combat with, like, 15 different characters. And
is that and what happened already, at the end of it?
Yeah, I mean, there was, like, so many NPCs on those islands that you were fighting, and it just took us so long to get through those combats.
I thought it was just the fact that we literally... Because Alyssa was the only one who was gone for that one, and it's just she was rarely the only one who was gone.
Well, I don't think Emily was there either. I think it was...
No, because she was the guy who became Voldemort.
Oh, right. Todd Volo. Oh,
Todd
yeah.
Volo.
Oh, I forgot Todd.
That's
Volo.
How I know she was there.
Yeah. I need to have the rest of the Thursday crew on to talk characters too. It'll be fun. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there are always those sorts of characters that I wish we could have come back to. One-shots that... I think almost every single time we do a one shot, I'm like, oh, we should do a whole game of this. unless it's a fiasco. Because,
I'm
you know,
so glad that we got to do that with some of our side characters. Like Adeline came back and stuff like that. That was fun. That's what I'm saying. Like, depending on what happens, I can imagine Vren coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it completely depends on what happens in the rest of the campaign.
Yeah.
Because if he ends up killing, that's going to be the interesting part. If he ends up killing Deli because he has to, the rest of the party's not going to want him around.
Very true.
But like, what else is he supposed to do? Like, because if she's in her like wild shape form and just attacking them, he's not going to stop. He's not going to let her do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we do? I don't know.
We'll have to find out. Anyway, thanks for coming on, Seth. That was fun.
Yeah, it was
good to just reminisce about random characters, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I'm glad I now have this list updated to be more accurate.
Yeah, I'll have to go through at one point and actually do like a final list on all the characters I've actually killed, like including all the one shots, and just get a final tally and all that.
The only characters on here who are not dead are Ren and Deli. Granted, a lot of time has passed, so they would have all died by now.
Yeah.
The one character I wish I could see this, but I could put this is my headcanon that Adeline died in a blaze of glory.
Oh, yes.
Let's face it, there's no other way she would die.
Of course,
She would not let herself be sullied with old age.
To be fair, Boodsy is a god now, so he's still alive.
True, Boodsy's a... And but also, is he really living? Is he really living?
I think so.
No, but is he really living a full, fulfilling life? He seemed very disheartened when we last saw
him. Chickens.
No, I just remember, like, last time we saw him, he seemed kind of like,
He seemed slightly uncomfortable with his... He was, like, in a powdered wig or whatever, but anyway, this is all very
That's
irrelevant.
What I mean, like, is he really living?
I'm going to say yes, Seth, because he's my character now. And it makes me depressed otherwise.
But yeah, everyone else is dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Adeline could have been immortal, but Alyssa wouldn't let me.
I know.
If Adeline had been, but Adeline being immortal is probably a very bad idea.
It is a very bad idea. And we'll go ahead and end on there. I think most of Seth's characters being immortal will be a bad idea. And that's why I had to kill him.
What about Twigsnap?
I think Twigsnap is still alive too, yeah.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that.
Or at least he could have been if he was get granted time magic, right?
Yeah, I don't know how like the time magic stuff works. I just remember
Twigsnap. He could be still alive.
He could still be alive. He was a fun.
He was. All right, cool. Well, this has been Idle Inspiration. We hope that you were inspired to play more role-playing games, and if you're a GM, to kill more player characters. Just for me. Do it for me.
You know, Caleb, when we eventually get to play a game where I DM, you better be a meat shield or he's coming for you.
I'm very excited about it. I'm going to be very excited. Like when we do that Pathfinder arc, I'm going to be waiting for the moment that you get to kill my character. I will love it.
I'll be like I'm just going to have, they all just pile on Caleb's character for some reason.
Bring it on, Seth. Maybe that way I'll actually get good at role-playing games for once as a player. All right, we'll go ahead and end there. Thanks for coming on, Seth.
Yeah, it's fun.
Have a good evening. Adios.